On the road again, just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends, and I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again, going places that I've never been, seeing things that I may never see again, and I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again, like a band of gypsies, we go down the highway. We're the best of friends, insisting that the world keep turning our way, and our way is on the road again. I just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends, and I can't wait to get on the road again. Well, really, I should probably be singing about being glad to be home. Just rolled in here about an hour and a half before the show, and I am glad to be home, and, you know, glad to be here with Lorraine. But, well, I'll tell you, I've been on the road with Jim Bowers, who was a guest on our show some time ago, maybe about 3 years, I'm not quite sure. I've known Jim about 10 years, but this trip was the first time I got to meet him in person. Flew into Atlanta, rode back with him camping, visiting friends. We saw lots of people from the Hersher Project, which is a group of writers and artists that Jim put together 15 years ago. That's the occasion for this trip. There's a 15-year anniversary of the Hersher Project. Well, I got to meet some other people that, other people I don't only from the internet. I got to catch up with some old friends, too. One of the people I ran across was Phil Ferrugio, who's generally a weekly columnist on our show, although he's taken this summer off. Hey, it was really cool to meet him. Anyway, I'm so fortunate to have had this opportunity. I'm really grateful to Jim for playing chauffeur. And right now he's playing cook, and I'm cooking something really good, but I'm going to have to wait till after the show to eat it. I'm Chuck Gregory. This is the New American Dream Radio Show. And we stream live right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com every week, Thursday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Thank you for joining us tonight, and I hope you'll stop on by freedomslips.com and show them a little bit of love. They've got donation buttons and things, and if you give them enough, they'll give you some kind of really cool swag. So check it out. It's worth it. They've got a lot of great things going on there. Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I am proud now to introduce my friend and my co-host, Mike Palaszczuk, an American writer.
Hello, Chuck. Tonight we welcome these special guests, Frank Cordero, Karen Kitkowski, and Michael Annis. And so tonight we are gathering for the New American Dream Radio Show in Des Moines, in northern Minnesota, Fort Lauderdale, Mount Jackson, Denver, and wherever you are. Well, it's clear we've been lied to through our whole history over the course of our whole lives. Most of us never come to realize it. Even saying that sounds elitist, as if you are one of the chosen ones who possess the truth, but it's true nevertheless. Most of us are hardwired with what we are taught from the very start in church and school, on the television, on the radio, in the newspapers. And the truth is that for reasons of power and money, those things are controlled. The people with power and money are some of the smartest people on the planet, and they figured out that knowledge is power, and that if you control knowledge, you can control people. Most of us would not think of trying to control history. History just happens. But these people with power and money really think outside the box. and they came to know that anything is possible. And so they made sure they control the information. They control what people know, what they learn, and what they think. That sounds ludicrous, but it's true. And so the battle for the mind is the most important battle being fought anywhere, and it's everywhere. And thank Buddha or Alan the Alien or Jesus H. Christ, we do have some smart people on our side as well. People who have given their lives to trying to find out the truth for us so that we might not have to live entire lives based in bullshit. John Kennedy was killed almost 50 years ago, and there are dozens, probably hundreds of people who have devoted whole lives to spreading out the thousands of pieces on their kitchen tables and putting together that puzzle. The same with the many so-called conspiracy theory events that are the fabric of the fable that is our national history. There are good people on our side trying to find out the truth about the RFK assassination, the Martin Luther King murder, Oklahoma City, 9/11, Waco, the Aurora Theater shooting, Sandy Hook, Boston, Orlando. If we actually were able to talk about these things, say on the Today Show or the Tonight Show or the Daily Show or the Nightly News, we would have ourselves what they call a real country. That is what would happen in a real country. Ours is something other. We here at the New American Dream advocate becoming a real country. Talk about everything, even in the cafe, even in church, even during supper or lunch, even in school, even at the ball game, on the news, even in the newspaper. Go ahead. Talk amongst yourselves. This is America. Welcome. We're glad you're here. This is the New American Dream. My recommended for this week, I've always thought the media, the TV media, personality morning shows were the most interesting part of 9/11, how they could be fooled or convinced to take part in the hoax. Take a look at this on YouTube. 9/11, No Plane Theory, 3D Specialists, Movie Makers, and Ugly Americans. Also, Ace Baker, Key to 9/11 is Video Fakery. Also highly recommended, the Gary Null Show, 621. Interview with William Pepper regarding Pepper's new book, The Plot to Kill King. Also recommended, False Flag Weekly News, look on YouTube. Also, look on YouTube and Google Orlando False Flag Hoax. Another recommended, the same progressive, and one particular episode, find it again on YouTube. The episode is regarding the California vote fraud, and she is talking with Bob Fetrakis. But what really matters is not the presidential election. What really matters are a few little books being published by Moonrock Books. What really matters is the truth about Sandy Hook, Boston, and all that. What really matters is that we know the truth about the murder of Robert Kennedy, John Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and Paul Wellstone. Because what is really happening is not the presidential election. The presidential election is window dressing, the circus, the carnival, the show. The real stuff is happening elsewhere. And that is why the newest Moonrock book release entitled America Nuked on 9/11, due for release this month, taking on the attacks of 9/11 that have brought about our whole new world, is more important than the presidential election. This new book is what is happening. This new book is the revolution, not some dog and pony show on CNN. The truth about 9/11, the truth about these murders, is still the key, and even more so after all these years.
Coming soon to Ware County Fair, the traveling display, the United States of America Hall of Fame. These are your lone nuts, the wackos, the criminals, the terrorists, the long-haired weirdos in the greasy raincoats in the subway at midnight. America, where we produce monsters who appear as anyone, and yet through their actions and inactions kill the prophets, keep the poor in the gutter, and still continue to live out their lives in peace. In America, and long later die on television with full honors, and still we say nothing about their crimes, but go home after the parade, shaking our heads, at least, finally, rid of them. Please, Come out to your local county fair and see the traveling display. Photos, memorabilia of the Bush administration, Ronald Reagan, the Warren Commission, the 9/11 Commission, Paul Tibbetts, Harry Truman, George Bush Sr., Bill Clinton, Janet Reno, Lon Horiuchi, the FBI sniper who shot and killed Vicki Weaver while she was holding her 10-month-old child behind the door of the family home at Ruby Ridge. You can also see historical Hall of Fame displays of the medical examiner at Sandy Hook and a real-life display of the desk of reporter Bob Woodward, who supposedly uncovered Watergate but was actually a CIA agent who did not let it get out that the break-in was really all about the JFK murder. Come on out to your county fair. It's pretty much all there. Every director of the Bureau of Prisons, every director on the INS, the IRS, and the FBI. Step right up. Throw a tomato. Hit Clinton in the nose. Win a stuffed animal for your sweetie pie. These are your low nuts, the wackos, the criminals, the terrorists, the long-haired weirdos, and the greasy raincoats in the subway at midnight. America. Where we produce monsters who appear as anyone and get through their actions and inactions, kill the prophets, keep the poor in the gutter, and still continue to live out their lives in peace in America, and long later die on television with full honors and still, we say nothing about their crimes, but go home after the parade, shaking our heads at least. Finally, rid of them.
And now we bring you the Bill Hicks and George Carlin Target and Walmart 4th of July card, a special American collection. Tell those Americans around you what you really think of them. A card designed with you in mind. Some sample selections.
It's all about money, not freedom, y'all, okay? Nothing to do with freaking freedom. You think you're free, try going somewhere without freaking money, okay?
Go back to bed, America. Your government has it figured out how it all transpired. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control. Here's American Gladiators. Watch this. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Here is American Gladiators. Here's 56 channels of it. Watch these pituitary retards bang their freaking skulls together and congratulate you on living in the land of freedom. Here you go, America. You are free to do as we tell you. You are free to do what we tell you.
I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left shares more of my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding out both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control. Here's Love Connection. Watch this. Get fat and stupid.
God bless America. Once again, respectfully, I say to myself, what the bleep does that mean? God bless America? Is that a request? Is that a demand? Is that a suggestion? Politicians say it at the end of every speech as if it were some sort of verbal tick that they can't get rid of. God bless you and God bless America. God bless you and God bless America. I guess they figure that if they leave it out, someone's going to think they're bad Americans.
Let me tell you a little secret about God, folks. God does not give a flying boop about America. Okay. He doesn't care. He never cared about this country. He never has. He never will. He doesn't care about this country any more than he cares about Mongolia, Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, the Suez Canal, or the North Pole. He simply doesn't care, okay? He doesn't care. Listen, there are 200 countries in the world now. Do these people honestly think that God is sitting around picking out his favorites? Why would he do that? Why would God have a favorite country? Why would it be America out of all the countries? Because you have the most money? Because he likes our national anthem. Maybe it's because he heard we have 18 delicious flavors of classic rice-a-roni. It's delusional thinking. And America's not alone with this sort of delusion. Military cemeteries around the world are packed with brainwashed dead soldiers who are convinced God was on their side. America prays for God to destroy our enemies. Our enemies pray for God to destroy us. Somebody's going to be disappointed. somebody's wasting their bleeping time. Could it be everyone? Now. People want to say, God bless America, that's their business, I don't care, but here's what I don't understand. If they say, God bless America, presumably they believe in God, and if they do, they must have heard that God loved everyone. That's what he said. He loved everyone and loved them equally. So why would these people ask God to do something that went against his own teachings? You know what these God bless America people ought to do? They ought to check with that Jesus fellow they're so crazy about. They're always talking about what would Jesus do. They don't want to know so they can do it. They just want to know so they can tell other people to do it. Well, I'll tell you what Jesus would have done. I'll tell you what Jesus would have done. He would have gone up on top of the Empire State Building and said, God bless everyone around the world forever and ever till the end of time. That's what Jesus would have done. That's what these people should do, or else they should admit that God bless America is really just some sort of an empty slogan with no real meaning except for something vague like, good luck. Good luck, America. You're on your own. Which is a little bit closer to the truth.
The Bill Hicks and George Carlin targeted Walmart 4th of July card collection, a card designed with you in mind. Now please join us as we look in on the new CBS reality TV show, One Day in the Life of an American Solzhenitsyn, an American Mandela, an American Thomas Jefferson, an American prisoner. A prisoner, an American prisoner, recently looked out from his prison window, a high prison window, in the middle of a big city, down on the little people and little cars below. He was not allowed pencil or paper, but he was allowed to think, because they had not yet figured out how to stop that. And as he did every day, he thought out the letter that he would send to everyone when he someday got that chance. He was for some reason sure that what he had to say would be news to those below, which it surely would be. He had now written a poem inside his head, and in order to remember it, revise it, to let it out into the world, he told his poem each morning to the fogged, battered, thick plastic window. He looked out the window, and his lips moved ever so slowly. He whispered ever so softly, and he was heard around the world. I am your spy. I am the clerk, the technician, the mechanic, the driver. They said, do this, do that. Don't look left or right. Don't read the text. Don't look at the whole machine. You're only responsible for this one bolt, for this one rubber stamp. This is your only concern. Don't bother with what is above you. Don't try to think for us. Go on, drive. Keep going on. So they thought, the big ones, the smart ones, the futurologists. There is nothing to fear, not to worry. Everything's ticking just fine. Our little clerk is a diligent worker. He's a simple mechanic. He's a little man. Little men's ears don't hear, their eyes don't see, we have heads, they don't. Answer them, said he to himself, said the little man, the man with a head of his own. Who is in charge? Who knows where this train is going? Where is their head? I too have a head. Why do I see the whole engine? Why do I see the precipice? Is there a driver on this train? The clerk, driver, technician, mechanic looked up. He stepped back and saw, what a monster. Can't believe it. Rubbed his eyes, and yes, it's all there, all right. I'm all right. I do see the monster. I'm part of the system. I signed this form. Only now I am reading the rest of it. This bolt is part of a bomb. This bolt is me. How did I fail to see, and how do the others go on fitting bolts? Who else knows? Who has seen? Who has heard? The emperor really is naked. I see him. Why me? It's not for me. It's too big. Rise and cry out. Rise and tell the people you can. I, the bolt, the technician, mechanic. Yes, you. You are the secret agent of the people. You are the eyes of the nation. Agent spy, tell us what you've seen. Tell us what the insiders, the clever ones, have hidden from us. Without you, there is only the precipice, only catastrophe. I have no choice. I'm a little man, a citizen, one of the people, but I'll do what I have to. I've heard the voice of my conscience, and there's nowhere to hide. The world is small, small for Big Brother. I'm on your mission. I'm doing my duty. Take it from me. Come and see for yourselves. Lighten my burden. Stop the train. Stop the train. The next stop, nuclear disaster. The next stop, next book. The next machine. No, there is no such thing. Join us next week for another episode of One Day in the Life of American Solzhenitsyn, an American Mandela, an American Thomas Jefferson, an American prisoner.
And now for a word from National Public Radio. Good old Reverend Bob, Miss Thompson, your fifth grade teacher, the police, the tired old editor strolling down the street after a long day at the office, the Democratic Party, the American Legion, the Boy Scouts, and Mom and Dad, all the people you trust to tell you the truth. The plane would have hit the Pentagon. We would have seen that short film 1,000 times by now on Chevrolet commercials and Miller beer commercials, and on commercials somehow juxtaposing the Pentagon, puppy pellets, the Pittsburgh Pirates, and the Pope Mobile. So, no plane hit the Pentagon. And because we know that from the lack of Pope Mobile prevarications, we can be sure that Bush wrote Rumsfeld and all liars and murderers. And we can include a bunch more folks in there as well. Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, that nice Obama family across the street. They all know the truth and refuse to tell us. That's the truth. I don't care what happens to me. It's just important that you know this has been a word from National Public Radio. Good old Reverend Bob, Miss Thompson, your fifth grade teacher, the tired old editor strolling down the street after a long day at the office, the police, the Democratic Party, the American Legion, the Boy Scouts, and Mom and Dad. All the people you trust to tell you the truth.
And now, please sit still. Keep your hands to yourself and listen up. As part of the City Adult Education Program, we are pleased to welcome you to this hot, sweaty middle school auditorium on this hot summer morning. Hello, everyone. It's time for All I Ever Learned in Kindergarten is All I Ever Learned Ever, but I guess I don't want to be stupid forever. And besides, if I come to the summer school class, I get a T-shirt. And if I stick it out to the end, I get DQ ice cream. And besides, somebody else is looking after the kids while I'm here, so I figure, why the hell not? Besides, my friend is also enrolled, and I can walk with her, and someone else has the kids, so why the hell not, right? If you believe you're not in the right class, now is the time to believe, to leave. The Over 60 softball class is meeting outside, and the basket weavers and glue painters are down the hall. Once we begin, we won't be able to let you leave, and once we end, well, you will never be the same. Just saying. Okay, everyone good? Okay, please, people, sit still, keep your hands to yourself, and listen up.
Operation Northwoods was a 1962 plan by the U.S. Department of Defense to stage acts of simulated or real terrorism on U.S. soil and against U.S. interests, and then put the blame for these acts on Cuba in order to generate U.S. public support for military action against the Cuban government of Fidel Castro. The plan was proposed by senior U.S. Department of Defense leaders, including the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Lyman Lewis Lemnitzer, as part of the U.S. government's Operation Mongoose Anti-Castro Initiative. The plan, which was not implemented, called for various false flag actions, including simulated or real state-sponsored acts of terrorism on U.S. and Cuban soil. Codenamed Operation Northwoods, the plan, which had the written approval of the chairman and every member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, called for innocent people to be shot on American streets, for boats carrying refugees fleeing Cuba to be sunk in the high seas, for a wave of violent terrorism to be launched in Washington, D.C., Miami, and elsewhere. People would be framed for bombings they did not commit. Faith behind that. Only evidence all of it would be blamed on Castro, thus giving Lemnitzer and his cabal the excuses for the international backing they needed.
Thank you for coming. See you next summer.
www.thecoursofourlives.com. We'll be right back.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We can't stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trumpet you've sounded?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so obvious that you're so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, by all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it. And unless you're free,
Revolution Radio of FreedomSlip.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
When you call down the thunder, well, now you've got it.
You tell them I'm coming, and I'll come in with me there. I'll come in with me.
Revolution Radio.
Enjoy your extra big ass fries.
Give me no fries. I got an empty box.
Would you like another
extra big ass fries?
I said I didn't get any.
Thank you. Your account has been charged. Your balance is zero. Please
what?
Come back when you can afford to make
your purchase.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry.
Come on. I'm starving.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio. Here at Revolution Radio, we believe in freedom of ideas, freedom of speech, and above all, we believe in freedom of existence and self-reliance. This station is 100% listener-supported, and as a fundraising promotion, I have a kick-ass free gift for a $100 donation. 35,000 seeds. 25 years in the freezer. Long-term storable, 54 different varieties. So, if seed prices go crazy, click it hits the fan, or you just want to save tons of money every year by creating your own food like I do, grab our seed pack special. Just look for the banner on the homepage at freedomslips.com. Don't be a statistic. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. We need to ask humans to start taking care of ourselves and not depending on the megacorp to provide unhealthy, nasty food. Included in this package is also a DVD with 900 survival and off-grid living documents and the offline home canning how to do everything website all on the DVD. So when you're growing all that food, you know how to can it, store it, preserve it, etc. with all these documents. So thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I hope that you will pick up this package and start learning to be free. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps, and freedom is one seed that needs to be planted.
What are we doing right? It goes in the cut.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Moonrock Books. We're a group of scholars, experts, and authors who feel the world really needs saving and that resisting the American Empire is the right thing to do. People are starved for truth. They are given lies. They subsist on lies, but it's not really living. People are not watching TV news. They're ceasing to read newspapers, too, because they know by now they will not find it there. The biggest battle being fought anywhere is with information. If the people can receive the truth, they will do the right thing. We are publishing the truth about Sandy Hook, about the Boston bombing, about the moon landings, about the Holocaust, and much, much more. The truth. It falls upon us to fight the empire and save the world. Join us, Moonrock Books.
Don't stop thinking about tomorrow. Remember the night of the Bill Clinton inaugural balls, the singing, the dancing, the persistently endless smiling, the dreams, the hopes. Remember how they gave up on health care? Remember the omnibus crime bill, the construction of dozens of new prisons? Remember the bombing of Yugoslavia for 70 days? Remember the Welfare Reform Act, the end of ADC, NAFTA, the end of jobs in America? Anyone remember the pardon of Leonard Peltier? Drug running by the CIA in Mena, Arkansas. Gary Webb reports about that in the Mercury News. Later, he's murdered. The sanctions on Iraq that killed 1 million people. The reversal of Glass-Steagall, which is all about the 99% and the 1% in today's headlines. I'm Walt Aston. Please don't tell me if you voted for William Jefferson Clinton. Hope. Change. Elect Barack Obama. Remember the Democratic Party. John F. Kennedy. Robert F. Kennedy. We thought everything was possible, probable, and then they blew it all away. Clinton and Obama got the message, wouldn't you say? Yesterday, all my troubles seemed so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
Your car won't start, and I know what you're thinking. Quick Trip doesn't carry your cigarettes anymore. They did it again. Your toilet is plugged, and you know who did it. Al-Qaeda. You have a flat tire on the freeway. Yup, the Taliban. You fall into a giant pothole as you turn off the freeway, disappear for days, and who did it? You got it. ISIS. You can't find your keys as you head out the door. There you go. They strike again. They are everywhere. Sleeper cells, caffeine cells, amoeba cells, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, the Taliban, ninjas, ghosts, fairy tale characters. You have never seen them, but they are everywhere. This message brought to you by the United States of America, Department of Homeland Security. Have a nice day. Now it's time for the Summer Replacement Series game show, Whose Country Is It Anyway? The Selective Service, taxes to pay for the military, prisons, poverty, wealth. Welcome to Whose Country Is It Anyway? With our co-hosts Matt Lauer and Katie Couric. Our contestants will be forced to register for the military, pay taxes to the military, pay taxes for thousands of prisoners, live in poverty, and smile and accept the obscene wealth of millions of their fellow countrymen all the while. Our contestants will be sealed inside a glass, soundproof box in the middle of our stage, while our studio audience sits all around in a tiny studio stadium. Our contestants will scream out and pound on the glass and try to make our host and studio audience pay attention to them while working on their personal telephones and eating the big hamburgers provided by our special studio chef. They will remain in their glass cages, shouting, pounding, until they can get one person to notice them. Whose country is it anyway? Sponsored by Powder Milk, Democrat gonads. Heavens, they're pasty. Our first guest of the evening is Frank Cordero. Frank Cordero is a member of the Des Moines Catholic Worker. Frank is a former Catholic priest. He has spent over 6 years in federal prison for various actions and protests of the U.S. military machine. And Chuck was able to, on his way back from his trip, he was able to contact Frank, and we have that conversation right now.
Hello, Frank.
Chuck, I'm sorry, I couldn't get back to you.
Okay. Can we do it now?
Sure.
All right. Well, go for it. I don't know what you got to say, but say something.
Well, it's just that, well, the scene here, again, it's very pastoral in the city. It's not so hot. It was beastly hot. But it kind of cooled off. It's shady. We're just getting done with the 6 o'clock supper. It was the Fantaiac guys came in and did it. These guys are ancient, like in their 80s. They've been doing this for a week, once a month, for over 30 years. They were here for our 10-year anniversary. In fact, they cooked out for it. Wonderful men. And they got hot dogs. And it's very cool with all the increments, and people are just now wrapping up. We have Julie Brown, a Des Moines Catholic worker, also Catholic, our Christian peace team person, who is about to go back to Kurdistan, Iraq, on a three-month back and forth commitment to Christian peace teams, and we're really proud of Julie. She's going to talk at American Friends tonight. But in between that, we have to touch in with the we have four interns. Some interns doing a kind of an intensive 8-week immersion thing, and besides doing a lot of shifts and work, there's 3 extra nights. Tonight is a touch-in. Each intern has a mentor, so I'm with Connor Murphy. These are great students. And then we sit down and talk and have a once-a-week touch-in meeting. So that's what I'm doing. And it's just a typical day. The life of the Catholic worker. We're all... We're all gearing up for the 40th anniversary coming up here in August. There's a lot at stake for us and our tradition, and the particular women reform stuff issues that we're taking on. So I feel good. What the hell? It's a good day, Chuck, to be alive.
Well, it is indeed. I've been on a road trip myself, and so I just got back, and every day is a good day, and there are so many good people out there.
Cool. Oh, Richard Flamer is going to be up here for our August 6th and 9th vigil. In fact, Richard was one of the chapter members when we started doing these vigils. And he's going to be with us for our 40th anniversary, so looking forward to that. Yeah.
Right.
And you guys, Richard, one of you guys is regular.
Yes, he sure is. Yep.
Yeah. Great
job. Oh, that's great. Well, thank you, Frank. Really appreciate
it. God bless you. All right. God bless.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
One life to live. At that time, the time... What thoughts will pass through our brain if there is time? If we could talk to the dead, what would they tell us? Go faster, slow down, give up, don't ever give up? Sure would be nice to know, wouldn't it? Well, we've got an app for that. Talk to the dead, get answers for your smartphone. At that time, the time, what thoughts will pass through our brain if there is time? If we could talk to the dead, what would they tell us? Go faster, slow down, give up, don't ever give up? Sure would be nice to know, wouldn't it? We've got an app for that. Talk to the dead. Get answers for your smartphone. For $19.95, monthly sign-up fee required in some states may cause liver damage. Stop using if you see bizarro Bugs Bunny and or dots or jiggly lines before your eyes. If you experience hypertosis, hoopatosis, halitosis, or a chronic Bee Gees music ringing in your ears, please consult your doctor. Not yet available in Iowa. And now another episode of the new reality show, The Lives of the Debt Slaves. They own cars, homes, drive fast, always on the move, smoke, drink, world events, go past in a blur. They do not slow down because then they would be able to see. They owe money, and that gives their lives a purpose that those around them can understand and agree with. Pay for the car, the house, the clothes, the phone, the TV. Keep moving, like a fish, to live, to breathe. Don't stop. Always keep moving. Must keep moving. And now for another episode of As the World Turns. As the world turns, we know the bleakness of winter, the promise of spring, the fullness of summer, and the harvest of autumn. The cycle of life is complete. Sponsored by Sudsy Soaps. Just look at all the bubbles. Operation Northwoods, Operation Gladio. Insert here the list of so-called terror events and attacks in the U.S. and around the world since 9/11. To understand your block, your neighborhood, your town, your world, understand this. Go to Google, look up Northwoods, Gladio, read about it, even just a little, and then look around you. When you understand even just a little, ask yourself why. Why are they doing this? And who are they? And how about me? As the world turns, we know the bleakness of winter, the promise of spring, the fullness of summer, and the harvest of autumn. The cycle of life is complete. Sponsored by Sudsy Soap. Just look, not over there, over here, at all the little bubbles. Our next guest of the evening is Karen Kitkowski. Karen Kitkowski is an American activist and commentator. She's a retired U.S. Air Force lieutenant colonel whose assignments included duties as a Pentagon desk officer in a variety of roles for the National Security Agency. Since retiring, she has become a noted critic of the U.S. government's military involvements around the world. In 2012, she unsuccessfully challenged incumbent Bob Goodlatte in the Republican primary for Virginia's 6th congressional district seat in the United States House of Representatives. Karen joins us from her home in Mount Jackson, Virginia. Well, hello, Karen. It's
Hi.
The New American Dream radio show, and you're on the air.
Oh, my goodness. Well, good to be here. I kind of got caught by surprise on this, and so I'm going to try to think about what I want to talk about, and what comes to mind is, I guess I should pick on the Congress and the Democrats in particular with their little sit-in. On the gun control, and I'm gonna just share my views on what our government is doing to us, and particularly with guns. But it's really part of an overall. There's a theme that government has. Our government, most governments are the same, but that theme is that we're the people, and but we don't run it. They run us. We're here for government's benefit. When government gets big enough, and even when it's small. The people are the productive engines of anything, human beings. But human beings are the productive engine. If they own property, if they can create ideas and innovate and build things, I mean, all that is stuff the government can tap into. So we're like the farm animals, and we're getting farmed. Now, our government, their little sit-in that they had with the guns and violence, you know, they said, well, we care about you, we don't want you to get shot up. Well, there's a headline that came out today, basically at the same time as the Democrats sitting in. If you're out following the news, I guess, well, I don't care if it's Democrats because the Republicans would be just as idiotic. But they kind of staged a protest because they wanted a vote brought on the floor to provide some additional, in my view, infringement of the Second Amendment, but it's some additional regulation and controls of guns, and they're doing it because people are worried about guns because the club in Orlando got shut up really badly by a guy with some guns. So, you know, this is the backstory there. Well, the point I'm trying to make, at the same day that this is news, another bit of news came out pointing out that government bureaucrats in various agencies, from the Postmaster General to the EPA to the IRS to you name it, actually have more guns, and listen, we can go assault weapons, that's a misnomer for most purposes, so listen, since people use it, assault weapons and other military-style weapons than does the United States Marine, the entire United States Marine. There's more guns in the hands of government bureaucrats like EPA, post office, of course, obviously the FBI and some certain federal law enforcement. But why is that? I mean, seriously, it's okay for government to be armed, but they're worried about our safety, so we can't be armed. Well, I don't like that. I don't like it at all. I don't trust government, and anybody who's listened to me before would know that I don't trust it. And I think anybody who's got a brain in their head would not trust unaccountable power, and that's what government is, unaccountable power. So anyway, kind of interesting to me that they want to, regulate, make us feel better. But in fact, what I started out with and what I'm going to come back to is how government views us, the people. And it's not necessarily to keep us safe because we should be safe. If they want to keep us safe, it's precisely so they can continue to milk us as if we are dairy cows, or to use us up as if we are, like beef cattle or pork or chicken. The government, its energy comes from we the people and not its inspiration. If its inspiration came from we the people, this would be like founding fathers on the first day. You know, the people love liberty or the people love this or that and we're going to help them get there. We're very small and we listen to people. Well, that may have lasted for like 30 minutes, whatever. That was a nice thought. In today, and really in most governments, and as soon as they get established, they're looking at the people as like a tick looks at a dog's back. It is fuel, it is food, it is fundamental energy, but it is not inspiration, and it is not. They don't look to the people for guidance. Okay, they might lick their finger and hold it up to the wind to see what we're thinking, what we might tolerate, what we might not tolerate, but they don't look to us for guidance or inspiration. That's not who we are to government. And since I believe this very firmly, that that's not who we are to government, I don't listen when the government tells me they want to keep me safe because I don't really buy it. And that's over and above the fundamental inconsistency with the argument that if you regulate control from a central government perspective, anything. I don't care if it's a drug you don't want people to take, a vitamin you don't want them to take, food you don't want them to eat, marijuana, cocaine, a practice that you do not want them to indulge in. When you start regulating that stuff, it's not a perfect world. It's not a zero sum game where if I say you can't do it, we stop doing it. Anybody who's got kids knows that it doesn't work that way. And government doesn't work that way either. So when they regulate things, and we're talking about guns, when they regulate guns, guns, types of guns, types of ammunition, who and what, where, when, and why, every little bit of regulation is not 100%, probably not even 50%. There are so many, it's not a zero-sum game. There are so many alternative choices that human beings, millions of human beings, can and will and do make in response to a government mandate. And it doesn't have to be about guns. Think about any government mandate you want. Think about Obamacare. Are people looking and making choices differently and doing things differently because of a new law that relates to their personal health care or their insurance? Of course they are. This is the nature of being human. You know, we're making our way through this maze of life with a lot of choices. And if a barrier goes up, you know, we don't just say, okay, I'm stopping. We don't stop. We go up, over, and around, and through. So this is how we respond to all regulation. So I feel sorry. I really would be picking on the Republicans if it was them doing it for some other stupid reason. But the Democrats are doing it on the gun subject, and they just don't understand how it works, so it's a stupid idea. And they're doing it, they're justifying it in a way that I personally would never believe. But they really care about our safety. They don't, okay? Other than can we continue to support government through our blood, our sweat, you know, our equity, our collateral that we provide for the government. And I probably have another minute, and I wanted to just say, I was talking to a lady yesterday, and I was explaining to her, I wouldn't explain to her how to do this, but I was talking to her about how the government borrows. You know, we know that our federal government taxes about 1.3 plus or minus, spends that and needs another trillion, and it borrows that other trillion. Okay, we know what it does. It's been doing it for at least 20 years, very, very predictably. And how do they borrow the money? Because, you know, they're pretty big debtors already. But, well, they go to the bank and they say, here's my collateral. What do you think a collateral is? Okay, it is it's a lot of things. It's all the Sallie Mae student loans that people are paying on a month-to-month basis back that, oh, you know, they say, hey, I got these guys paying me $50 a month, $100 a month, $500 a month, $1,000 a month. It's coming in like clockwork. You can count on that. That's collateral. Okay? So you've got that type of debt. Home mortgages, the FHA and all the government-subsidized mortgages, the VA and all that, these are turned into borrowing collateral for the government. Hey, these guys are paying mortgage to us, and we get this, you know, we have this coming in. Federal lands, minerals, government ownership of things that don't even need to be owned, but are owned because the government says so, like the airwaves. All of these things are collateral, but the biggest collateral is you and me, is all of us. We're the collateral. Our earning capacity, our healthy lifespan, not our unhealthy lifespan, particularly not after Obamacare, but our healthy lifespan, our productive lifespan, to work well into our 80s. This is the collateral that they use to... So, yeah, they want us safe. Sure. But when they propose to keep us safe, it's a stupid thing that don't work, like more government regulation that will be ignored by all the bad people who want to do bad things. And increasingly, that number is percentage of good versus bad people, so to speak. People who will do what they're told versus not. The number of people that won't do what they're told is growing. Partly in response to the government. So anyway, kind of fed up. You know, maybe you've got something to think about or not. So I hope. I hope maybe I'll give you something to think about.
Not the happiest, but Revolution Radio at freedomslist.com. We'll be right back.
Enjoy your
extra big ass fries.
You didn't give me no fries. I got an empty box.
Would you like another
extra big ass fries?
I said I didn't get any.
Thank you. Your account has been charged. Your balance is zero. Please
what?
Come back when you can afford to make
a purchase. Oh, no.
I'm sorry you
asked. Come on.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio. Here at Revolution Radio, we believe in freedom of ideas, freedom of speech, and above all, we believe in freedom of existence and self-reliance. This station is 100% listener-supported, and as a fundraising promotion, I have a kick-ass free gift for a $100 donation. 35,000 seeds. 25 years in the freezer. Long-term storable, 54 different varieties. So, if food prices go crazy, this hits the fan, or you just want to save tons of money every year by creating your own food like I do, grab our seed pack special. Just look for the banner on the homepage at freedomslips.com. Don't be a statistic. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. We need as humans to start taking care of ourselves and not dependent on the megacorps to provide unhealthy, nasty food. Included in this package is also a DVD with 900 survival and offering living documents from the offline home canning how to do everything website all on the DVD. So when you're growing all that food, you know how to can it, store it, preserve it, etc. with all these documents. So thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I hope that you will pick up this package and start learning to be free. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps, and freedom is one seed that needs to be planted.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
They're gonna stop us! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started? Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or even be they
time when the operation of the machine becomes so obvious. It's supposed to get hard, but you can't take part. You can't even casually take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears, upon the wheels, upon the levers, by all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who want it, to the people who want it. But unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio of freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You call down the thunder, well, now you've got it.
You shall alarm, Kevin! And I'll come in with me, you hear? I'll come in with me!
Revolution Radio!
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturday from midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Did you ever feel that things were not quite right? That everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Maddie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sunday, 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. We don't need this, but we're already here.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And now, some notes we have been receiving during the first half of our show from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telepathy, and telegraph. From Aunt B in Mayberry, we hear...
Russian President Vladimir Putin's comparison of increasing U.S.-led NATO aggression towards Russia to the attack by Nazi Germany on the Soviet Union is advisedly apt. Putin was addressing the Russian State Duma this week on the occasion 75 years ago when the Nazi Third Reich launched Operation Barbarossa on June 22, 1941. Nazi Germany's aggression, which led to the Great Patriotic War, in which up to 30 million Soviet citizens lost their lives in order to gain victory against that fascist power, was at bottom an attack by Western imperialism. As Putin reminded, this fundamental fact is often omitted in Western commentary. In that way, the significance of NATO's current military buildup, well, what else is that but aggression? Russia's history over centuries is replete with examples of where Western imperialist powers have tried and failed to subjugate Russia with military attack from its western flank. It's consistent with historical precedent that Putin should describe the increasing aggression by the American-led NATO military alliance in the same context as the repugnant Nazi assault on Russia. The burgeoning U.S.-led aggression toward Russia, in the form of provocative political campaigns to demonize and vilify with false accusations, economic sanctions and the spurning of diplomacy and dialogue, as well as the expansion of military forces, including the deployment of missile systems, is in a long, reprehensible tradition of Western belligerence toward Russia. Going back to, among others, French Emperor Napoleon Bonaparte and German Führer Adolf Hitler.
And now a note from Los Angeles, Dodger Stadium, the home team bullpen, we hear. What has become of a country that is offering Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton as its best candidates? It's not much different from the country that it used to be for decades, even centuries, since the beginning. U.S. presidents had been promoting slavery, extermination campaigns against the native population of North America, barbaric wars of aggression against Mexico, and other Latin American countries, the Philippines, etc. Has anything changed now? I highly doubt it. Donald Trump is horrendous, but he's also honest. Both Presidents Clinton and Obama were great speakers, but unrepentant mass murderers.
And this, just in from the guardhouse at the White House on Pennsylvania Avenue. Democracy means nothing else other than rule of the people in Greek. There's nothing democratic about the political concept of the United States and Europe. There's absolutely nothing democratic about the global arrangement through which the West has been ruling over the rest of the world for decades and centuries. The second part is, I'm convinced, much more important, much more devastating. In the West, people have been tolerating their insane political system in exchange for the countless privileges they're getting from their country's plundering of the planet, violating entire nations and continents. But in Africa, Asia, and elsewhere, these unpeople have no choice at all.
From Don, a trucker hauling Doritos on the New York State Freeway. Bernie Sanders is like those liberal members of the German Nationalist Socialist Party during the World War II or of the Italian fascist movement during Mussolini. They do much for their own workers and peasants socially, as long as funds were flowing in from the countries plundered by their imperialism. Under Bernie Sanders, Western workers would definitely do much better. But the rest of the world, the wretched of the earth, would still have to pay the bill. What would happen to the world under a Hillary Clinton presidency? Nothing exceptional. Things would stay the same. Sponsorship of color or umbrella or whatever revolutions, some more coups, regime changes, direct invasions, bombing, propaganda warfare against China, Russia, Iran, South Africa, and what is left of the Latin American revolutions. There would be plenty of torture in secret centers, but it would not be as advertised and glorified as it would be if Trump were elected. World War III would become a great possibility, but such a scenario is quite possible under any new U.S. administrations. To answer your question, business as usual.
Some notes we have been receiving during the first half of our show from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telepathy, and telegraph.
If you don't want a man unhappy politically, don't give him two sides to a question to worry him. Give him one. Better yet, give him none. Let him forget there is such a thing as war. If the government is inefficient, top-heavy, and tax-mad, better it be all those than that people worry over it. Give the people contests they win by remembering the words to more popular songs or the names of state capitals or how much corn Iowa grew last year. Cram them full of non-combustible data. Chalk them so damn full of facts they feel stuffed, but absolutely brilliant with information. Then they'll feel their thinking. They'll get a sense of motion without moving, and they'll be happy because facts of that sort don't change. Now for your local Earth news. This is Mike Polacek and Chuck Gregory with a review of today's news from the eye of the hurricane and the eye of the blizzard. This is from Information Clearinghouse, a recent interview with Andre Vilcek with Anti-Diplomatico out of Italy. What did you feel when you recently saw Obama speaking in Hiroshima and not apologizing for what was done by his country, declaring almost sarcastically as the head of the world's first atomic power, hope for a world without nuclear weapons?
Andrei Vilcek speaking. I'm quite immune to such speeches, aren't you? Although, yes, somehow Obama's is much more disgusting than others because he is smart and we all know that he knows. He's thoroughly dishonest and it is clear. It would be somehow more acceptable to see George W. puking over sushi. And Trump, he'd probably declare in Hiroshima that he'd nuke half of Asia if it would help the West to retain its control over the world. At least one would not harbor any false hopes.
So that's all, folks. That's the news. And we are out of here. Good night and good luck. And so it goes. That's the way it is. Stay on the same page. Step up to the plate. Good to go. Take it to the next level. At the end of the day, bring something to the table. Have a good day. It is what it is. It's time to wake up. Your toast is ready. The bus is here. The world is on fire. Our next guest of the evening is Michael Annis. As a partisan accelerating cultural revolution, Michael Annis, poet, senior editor, and founder of Howling Dog Press, has been cited as the most dangerous poet on the planet. Author of The Hinge Manual, integral to the creation and development of Hinge Theory, Michael's passions are linguistics, quantum theory, DNA evolution, anthropology, philosophy, music, and mathematics, all of which have been integrated into his poetry and literature. He has two books forthcoming in 2016. One is Howling at the End of the World, Collected Poetry, and also Brave New World Order. And we are going to get Michael on the line right about now. He comes to us each month from Denver.
Hello.
Well, hello, Michael. It's Chuck and Mike and the New American Dream Radio Show, and you're on the air.
Well, hi, Chuck and Mike. It's good to be back. Okay, I'm going to do Brave New World Order, part 19 tonight, that is simply titled Spawn. And I want to start with a footnote. In Brave New World Order, all poems are the dreams of Spawn. The poem begins, Mama, I went away last night. My eyes closed for sleep, but I tricked them, and I did not sleep. I went to China, to Tin Man Square. I saw the children who asked me to play, and we played until dawn, until the tanks came. And the tanks ran over my friends, and they ran over me, crushing my skull, my eyes, my lips, my tongue, crushing my voice. And when I looked for you, I saw instead the grin of death, then nothing, blackness. And when I called for you, from my mouth, your name did not come out. From my mouth came only blood. Spawn. The earth grew more and more inhospitable to all living things. There were wars, diseases, and ever-expanding deserts that bred rampant starvation. The Earth's children severely lacked food, shelter, medical intervention, education, clothing, and often parents. But ironically, the abandoned masses of starving, disease-riddled children were always deluged under storms of propaganda. When the less fortunate ones grew into adults, they could only entertain vague shadows of who they were, where they had come from, and what destiny might await them. Beliefs were inconsequential, yet often threatening to their welfare if they existed at all. Their beliefs were what the system dominion determined best served the final objectives of the overlords, and they were herded into armies and paramilitary units to be trained to make war upon those who still fought against the economic, political corruptions that funneled all resources, all wealth, all power into the singular upper crust of the hybrid species. The meaning of each individual life and that of the species called human bore no priority in a world of state-supplied answers of politically controlled programs. To ask any human spawn what they believed or what life might be about was considered an act of hostile dissension, of renegadism, punishable by law, carrying stiff fines or prison terms. All ideas not focused on the making of money, the acquisition of wealth, were formally defined as non-teachable wastes of time, for human time had already been pre-designated to produce results that supported the socioeconomic structure already in place. Spawn knew how to robotically pull a trigger with one finger while manipulating a cell phone with the others, all while keeping their teeth sparkling white, their body odor mask, the most minute physical flaws in check and invisible, so they wouldn't be ostracized into the gas chambers and hard labor camps, or worse, to become victimized in the notorious species experimentation labs. Spawn were taught to know alcohol and nicotine, therefore all lethal drugs would fleetingly quell their spiritual, intellectual, and physical hungers, their autonomy and independence, while enhancing and amplifying their needs to satisfy them. The ironies gurgling from their lives proliferated and intensified as rapidly as the drugs they ingested. Perennial surges of new, immediately addictive, plutocratically manufactured pharmaceuticals were continually invented to be used for whatever interior designs were being purposed to further modify human behaviors and desires genetically toward the singular goal of keeping the overlords in control of every living thing on the planet. The substances were given mystical, scientifically contrived names that posed to validate them and deem them essential for all human activities, maladies, pleasures, and conditions. And these mandatory pharmaceuticals began circulating through a spawn's bloodstream even before the spawn was taken from the womb. For who needed to produce laboratory test tube babies when all wombs had already been degraded into test tube hatcheries? The sanctioned addictions that replaced a spawn's lifeblood made their fun more fun, intensified their relationships with other spawn, and if they had no relationship, offered them the explosive and implosive social interaction that results from temporarily deadened ostracization. This combustive static of manipulation, like Independence Day fireworks running through the spawn's hearts, pouring out from all their orifices, engulfing them in the continuous loud roaring of power and potential power if the mark was towed, was but a preliminary existential entryway into their lifelong servitude to the uniformity of the state, the cowing acquiescence to their masters, the arrest of their dreams through their own fragmented nihilism. Above all else, parents taught their children covetous hatred, costumed in the apparel of civil obedience and societal convention, which gave the illusion of freedom and rebellion against tyrannical forces, but proved to be the fountain of lethargy, the propulsion of more stolid ennui that made their lives desperate and needy of more drugs to create more complex illusions of lives that bore intrinsic meaning. Parents taught their spawn a monolithic hatred that stood alone, fed by the springs of jealousy and envy, the need to acquire, to possess, to own, to conquer, and yes, to completely enslave by socially commendable forms of slavery. Hatred was disguised in counterfeit generosities, in conditional acceptances of one's worth based upon not challenging the dictates of dogma and superstition, whether religious, political, or philosophical. Hatred was suckled lovingly as some visionary animosity that ultimately and paradoxically would produce a more loving, gentle, and inhabitable planet. The inertia of hatred became a smug and condescending pinnacle under the harsh spotlights of fame and fortune, and it glared down upon each spawn and each generation of spawn. It was unscalable, the very sight of it producing a ravenous appetite to spread greater envies, jealousies, and their resulting terrors into all controversial minds, proscribed in any who opposed the singular message of human existence's service to the greater good of all. This demiurge, this artificer of the world, this implasticized body that supplanted humanity through vagrant impulses toward unnatural substances created as recombinant compounds designed on a computer chip that took on human form but not its former primeval soul, alienated each spawn from everything but the overlords and their agenda. It stripped compassion from their hearts, humility from their character, mercy from their understanding, dignity from their souls, and veiled the greater, more despairing futility that, hail-like, loomed in the clouds of overlord control, growing in size, weight, and intensity, to be down upon their heads until not one was anything else but a slave. Hatred that had been engendered into every spawn made them thirst for its wake, to take pleasure in their playful wars, their exercise of play murder, their games of desolation glowing like bright embers of esteemed recognition in their parents' eyes, their community's accolades, proud of the bravado of bigotry, might, pseudo-heroism, and foul tolerance of any deviations counter to premeditated social standards. Parents and communities all the while turned their very own offspring into monsters for the sake of a common cause and invested ideology, for the sake of the company good, for nationalism, for the ransacking of poorer countries, for the glory of combat, coercion moonwalking through the skulls to brave new world orders, O glories, O fatherlands, O motherlands, O wunderkinds, O Jehovah, Allah, Shiva, God, and the self-righteous, O Moloch, the invincible. Take no prisoners. I repeat, no prisoners shall be taken. Those who surrender and who shall not are to be executed in exterminations from the inside out. For the glory of the overlords, for the glory of the gods, for the empire unlike any empire before it, for the clarity of thought, for the purpose of act and action, for the purity of the bloodline. They were willing to risk their own children becoming mass murderers, village rapists, torturers of innocent victims in the names of corporately sanctioned definitions of right, good, and particularly affluence. We say, bah, to the assumption that each life, no matter how tiny, inconsequential, handicapped, or useless, is sacred and redeemable. There is justification in the constant construction of gas chambers and burial pits, for they have no idea what to truly live is, what it is to guide a species toward its final destination. Those who have the best minds, the superior intellect, the greatest grasp of the workings of control and power and wealth are the only ones worth saving. They are superhuman and have no obligation toward lower primates. Yet, they are but insects when compared to us. Parents hustled their children off to friends, grandparents, aunts, uncles, counselors, and interceders, psychologists, ministers, priests, nunneries, prayer meetings, Bible studies, Torah studies, Quran studies, catechism, schools, concerts, recitals, boys and girls clubs, halfway houses, shelters, madhouses, bars, jails, prisons, asylums, morgues, and cemeteries. It had been engineered that the demands of service, career, work, and tertiary obligations made it impossible for spawn to be where they needed to be with their parents. They existed as remote islands in the convoluted sea of their homes and day programs. Like pirates with treasure maps, they sought out attention, understanding, camaraderie. The mainsail of familial denial or tribal exclusion raised slightly more endemic with each generation until it became ingrained and imprinted, flying like skulls and crossbones from the mast. Being odd to even consider that the lifestyle of what had become known as success itself was what bred such tragic social mutinies, such paradoxically uniform yet isolationist malathasia, such utter shipwreck upon the rocks of the spirit, castaways washing up onto uninhabitable islands to conquer and subdue them through wars, blockades, and extermination. And all things being in the service of one ideology, inhumanly contrived and constructed to sway thought and purpose away from human integration with one another, its very own offspring and its living, breathing cohabitants, to trivialize and ignore as a living thing itself, planet Earth, third astronomical body from the sun, an only known heavenly body upon which life was possible in the vastness of space and time.
Well, that was quite something, Michael.
Well, thanks, Chuck. I look forward to next month.
Well, me too. Me too. What's going on with the publishing of this and also your new magazine?
Okay, well, the new magazine is on hold, and I don't know how long, okay? My co-producer, co-publisher is having some difficulties, like I said, I think last month. However,
okay,
I have in the works a brand new Omega, Omega 8, which is called Clan Between the Worlds. And it will be coming forth by the end of the summer, because I'm getting it ready for 100,000 Poets for Change. The book, Brave New World Order, being illustrated, amazing illustrations by David Allen Reed. He's got up to chapter 10. We're on part 19. We're probably two-thirds, maybe or so away, you know, away from being finished. What's the publisher doing? Snow Leopard Press. They're being very patient. And now, well, it's like this, okay? I mean, you can make whatever you want. I mean, we're not making snow cones here. What we're doing here is we're trying to create a work of art. And when you and Mike and whoever buys the publication, Brave New World Order, the book, when you see it, you'll understand. I mean, I can't even believe how great some of these illustrations are.
I'm looking forward to it, Mike.
Look forward to that, Michael, and I look forward to hearing from you again next month, too.
Okay, cool. See you then.
See ya. Thank you.
We'll be right back. Data safe? Do you have the necessary information to assist you in confidently living through just about any survival situation? Is survival from gardening, off-grid living, medical knowledge, or even natural or man-made EMPs on your list of personal concerns? Do you have your documents and your personal information in a safe place in your hands where you know where it is? Well, check out our preloaded EMP-proof thumb drive. Over 3 gigs of survival documents and how-tos, plus the USDA offline food preservation website, and much, much more, including a surprise bonus we just can't tell you about here. With plenty of room left over to store your most important documents. Imagine if a megavirus or a computer failure took out your bank, or all the banks for that matter. Are your banking records safe in your hands? So when they get things fixed and repaired, you can say, hey, look, this is what I had. You have it. I want it back. Is your personal data safe? Family records? Addresses? Phone numbers? Well, squeeze on over to freedomslips.com. Yes, that's www.freedomslips.com. Click the banner on the homepage for the EMP-proof bullet drive to get the full scoop of everything that we offer. So, folks, keep your data safe for your peace of mind. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here. Opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And now, please join us for another episode of the American on the Hot Sidewalk holding up a tin can and a sign in the middle of the city. The American on the Hot Sidewalk holding up a tin can and a sign in the middle of the city looked up and squinted at somebody staring down at him, holding up his can in one hand and his sign in the other. He tries to make his signs humorous, something about how his family was kidnapped by ninjas and how he needs money for karate lessons. But today's sign says, the poor go to prison, the rich go to hell. And this person isn't smiling. The American on the hot sidewalk holding up a tin can and a sign in the middle of the city looked away from the not smiling person in the sun and rested his head back against the brick wall yet again. He closed his eyes and went to his happy place. Sometimes that was the Dairy Queen in Ocala. Sometimes it was riding a horse with his father near Cumberland. Sometimes it was other things. He went there. He came back. He squinted his eyes against the sun to see if he was still being watched. The American on the hot sidewalk holding up a can and a sign in the middle of the city held up his sign to block the sun and kept reading the book he held on the back side of the sign. And in the eyes of the people, there is the failure. And in the eyes of the hungry, there is a growing wrath. In the souls of the people, the grapes of wrath are filling and growing heavy for the vintage. One man, one family driven from the land, this rusty car creaking along the highway to the west. I lost my land. A single tractor took my land. I am alone and bewildered. And in the night, one family camps in a ditch and another family pulls in and the tents come out. The two men squat on their hands and the women and children listen. Here is the node, you who hate change and fear revolution.
keep these two squatting men apart. Make them hate, fear, suspect each other. Here is the anlage of the thing you fear. This is the zygote. For here, I lost my land, is changed. A cell is split, and from its splitting grows the thing you hate. We lost our land. The danger is here. For two men are not as lonely and perplexed as one. And from this first we, there grows a still more dangerous thing. I have a little food, plus I have none. If from this problem the sum is, we have a little food, the thing is on its way. The movement has direction. Only a little multiplication now, and this land, this tractor are ours. The two men squatting in a ditch, the little fire, the side meat stewing in a single pot, the silent stone-eyed women behind, the children listening with their souls to words their minds do not understand. The night draws down. The baby has a cold. Here, take this blanket. It's wool. It was my mother's blanket. Take it for the baby. This is the thing to bomb. This is the beginning from I to we. And the great owners who must lose their land in an upheaval, the great owners with access to history, with eyes to read history and to know the great fact, when property accumulates in too few hands, it is taken away. And that companion fact, when a majority of the people are hungry and cold, they will take by force what they need. And the little screaming fact that sounds through all history. Repression works only to strengthen and knit the repressed. The great owners ignored the three cries of history. The land fell into fewer hands. The number of the dispossessed increased. And every effort of the great owners was directed at repression. The money was spent for arms, for gas to protect the great holdings, and spies were sent to catch the murmuring of revolt so that it might be stamped out. The changing economy was ignored, plans for the change ignored, and only means to destroy revolt were considered, while the causes of revolt went on. Well, it's been another long week in Moon Rock Lake, Ohio, my hometown at the end of the empire. You might have seen that George H.W. Bush still lives. That old snake we saw sneering in the back room on the night his son was dishonestly named President of the United States. The one who lied that he was out of the loop. The one who ordered the killing of thousands of people in Panama. The one who ordered the building of many new prisons to get tough on drugs and criminals in America, and it was all a scam, all to get elected, to gain power. George H.W. Bush, the one who snickered at the funeral of Gerald Ford when he mentioned from the podium the killing of John Kennedy. The one who claimed he was not in Dallas that day, but there's a photo showing he was. The one who sits in the front row at the baseball games on national television and is applauded, not hit with tomatoes and fists and handcuffs, because he's been so successful in concealing the truth from the American people all these years. The one who has said that if the American people knew what he has done, they'd string him up by a light pole. Well, actually, there were some guys right here in Moon Rock Lake, some guys who suspected the truth about George H.W. Bush, who cared enough to find out the goddamn truth about our 41st president. They were not the leading citizens. They did not write the editorials or sign the loans or even cut the hair of those who did. They inhabited the underground, the earth, the destitute, the hated, the laughed at, the so-called criminals themselves. And they understood. They knew where the power resided, where the truth could be found, what the reasons were, where the bodies were buried. And they could not understand, and they wanted to find someone to ask why there might be such a stink about even talking about the killing of a rich so-called leader, and yet the real life slaughter of thousands, millions of poor people goes by without a whisper, a passing breeze in the trees that is gone and forgotten by the time the hail fellow well met in the cook's hat in the backyard shouts that the hot dogs are ready. And so, nothing better to do, they decided to fight. KGB, they said, kill George Bush. Some apparently recent graffiti found in D Block. Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you, bad boys? The men of D Block are Mark Pontiac, Bobby Ford, Stephen Baltimore, Martin Mumford, Billy Morningdove, Miguel Mendez, and Alfred Arthur. The new guy is Michael Zags, who's on his way to the jail, snatched from a downtown construction site for threatening the life of former President George H.W. Bush. The jailer is Don Burton. There's the jail, there's the outside. Some on the outside are headed to the jail. Some few realize that. Some had no idea. Unknown to the men in D-Block, an underground pirate radio station had begun operating in downtown Moonrock Lake. One woman's plan to get around the arteriosclerosis blockage of non-information provided by the regular radio stations. Paul Novotny sat in traffic counting the steps on the water tower. The noonday glare pissed him off. He clenched his teeth, slammed down the visor. It's the sensitive types who climb the water tower with high-powered rifles. Paul resumed his reverie. They drive us to it, the bastards. Hiking his sweatpants into the fold between his ribs and chest, Paul raised his chin to view himself in the rear view to see if he was gay. Paul strained to tune the radio. In his peripheral vision, he saw the light switching to yellow. He sensed the cars around him sliding away, leaving him. The white Camry with gold piping behind him shouted its horn. Paul held up a finger to the rear window and continued to search the dial with his left hand. Paul Harvey, good day. You look wonderful tonight. Blue. Sirhan, with atrazine. Blue. I'm Bob Edwards. And you're not, whispered Paul. The Camry edged up, nudging Paul's tan escort. Paul decided to ditch the out-of-state plates. He leaned into the brake pedal, motioned the Camry around, and walked the radio arrow right. The right lane cleared, but the Camry driver beeped his horn, rolled down his window, shouted at Paul to get the heck out of the way. He had to be there. The light clicked to red. The lanes filled in around Paul. The Camry inched back. A black and white police cruiser slid up next to Paul. Paul dragged the shifter into first and stared straight. Paul turned his head right. The officer glared until Paul looked away. He watched the light while moving a knob with his right hand. The light clicked to green. Paul moved away within the flow. He spread his thighs and picked his balls free. He signaled, moved to the right lane. He put his left hand to the window, gave the Camry a no-look finger as it moved past. Paul turned right down Nebraska Street. Looking up the hill, he saw the walkway between Norwest and Penny, the sidewalks littered with walkers, lingering fog, orange and yellow blinkers. Paul steered with his knees while he lit an old gold. He rolled down his window. Then KZOO morning show, Mike and Ike went to commercial. Paul eased in behind a purple minivan tried again. He heard crackling. His arms ached. He noticed a familiar tone. He backtracked and fine-tuned. "Good day, my friend," the deep female voice brought the day's first smile. Paul cranked the wheel and on the green cut off a yellow cab to park on the curb. He put the car in gear, stopped the engine, turned the key and sighed in relief at the return of the voice. "This is Radio Free Moon Rock, broadcasting the underground seeds of the revolution with legs astride the weather ball in downtown America." Paul pulled the lever to recline his seat. "You can get no farther into the heart of America, the beast. This is it. The stomach, the belly, the soul, the lungs, the gut." Paul tugged the emergency brake and pushed the button locking all doors. He pried each heel from his tennis shoes and watched the road and foot traffic from below the low bill of his cap with steely, narrowed eyes. He strained to see the weather ball on top of that one building next to the cop shop. "When the weather ball be red, we all be dead. When the weather ball be green, Wall Street obscene. Weather ball is blue, they come looking for you. Weather ball be white, no brothers in sight. Yes, the weather ball is black, bad times ahead. But you know that rain is good for the crops, don't they say? But today we play. We're going to send out some Jackson Brown, Lou Reed, and Mr. John Prine for you this morning. This is Ilana at KFU." Pretending to sleep, Paul watched a mail carrier in shorts and knee socks coming down the sidewalk with an antenna sticking out of his bag. "Remember, all next week I'll be on a live clandestine remote from the Southern Hills Mall. Bring your Walkman and we be jamming." The mailman passed without incident. Paul swiveled his head slowly and saw two brown men on the corner, a line of sweat down both of their white t-shirts. "Aha," I thought, "Paul, wetbacks." Turned up his radio as a sheriff's car sped by. Paul scrunched farther down. "You know, as I sit in my window and watch you all hurrying to work, I wonder if we've used up all our tokens, you know. If we're coming to the end of the line. You heard about the Truth Commission in South Africa? Why don't we have a Truth Commission in the United States? Who killed Bobby Kennedy?" Paul shot up and worked the knob as she drowned in static. "You killed Martin King? Why? Excuse me, Mr. Haig, Miss Kirkpatrick, Mr. Abrams. Just how many people did we kill in El Salvador? And did we care that they had their heads cut off, their organs stuffed into their mouths as they died? Not a problem? Paul stuck his right hand into his front pocket. He dug way down, fishing for a cigarette. Pulled up what looked like a watermelon. Lifesaver. Picked off what Lindy could. Stuck the candy into his mouth. "Yes, Mr. Clinton, how you doing? Why can't Leonard Peltier get a fair trial?" Paul curled his toes on as the lady of the radio went on and on. "What's the FBI really up to around here? Let's organize a Cub Scouts tour of the Hoover Building and that CIA compound and that National Security Agency thing. What's this all about? May we help you, citizen?" "Well, yes. I'd like to read that file that I paid for, and that one over there, too, and I'll take two of those chartreuse folders with the burgundy clips." "Yes, honey, Mr. Director, come sit on my lap. Tell me what you've been up to today now, child. Such a big boy." Paul felt motion. He felt as if he were slipping off the planet like Apollo in free fall. Boom! His rear bumper hit the front bumper of the yellow taxi behind him. Paul jerked around, saw the car was empty, started his car, pulled up a few feet. "You know what I'm saying," she said. "Poverty is not the problem, it's the solution. We need to look for the lie, friend. Look for the lie in the eyes, on the tongue. Listen, y'all, I got to be gone. I hear the pitter-patter of little jackboots. Lou and John will have to stay the night with me. Soon that we're out of time. No more tokens to play today. Here's that Jack Brown I've been promising. Lives in the balance. I've been waiting for something to happen. Y'all be good. Till tomorrow. Keep obeying." As the music played, Alana Usak swiveled the chair to look out of her window. She tried to guess the vehicles that had her so tuned in. Maybe that pickup, the garbage truck, the Eldorado in front of the bakery with its murder revving. The station went to static before the song finished. Paul opened his eyes and moved his seat up. He flipped the visors and turned off the radio. He released the parking brake and started the car. He looked in the mirror, turned into traffic, causing a Budweiser truck to slam on its brakes. Paul checked his side mirror and drifted to the middle lane. He moved up the hill and jerked, stopping at each light, keeping his right foot on the brake and half on the gas. When he reached the top, the sun shined 9 o'clock. The sidewalk people sat down at computer terminals. The beer truck lurched into a grocery parking lot. Paul chugged over the crest, past the Catholic high school, and disappeared down into a maw of white houses. Alana saw Paul Novotny pull in front of the beer truck. She saw the county sheriff, Jeremiah Williger, driving slowly past. From her second floor perch, Alana noticed the navy blue Ford and the two insurance men. Could have been Federal Communications Commission agent in another life. The springtime morning air chilled the sweat on her forehead. She closed her eyes, sucked down the pancake aroma from the cafe below her, and considered her good fortune. The wind today floated past from the north, keeping the hog slaughtering smell of the south end over across the river. She swirled back, shut down her equipment, and walked into the kitchen for more coffee. Her living room was full of plants and radio machinery, secondhand stuff, microphone, mixing board, transmitter, cart machine, CD player she picked up at a ham operator's swap meet during the Sturgis rally some years ago. All on a bare, shining hardwood floor. The antenna ran up the inside wall to the roof and connected to the line running up the side of the first security tower, giving her use of the largest building in the city. They were getting close. She felt it. She thought about staying off the air for a while. Returning to the office living room, Alana shook her head to get the sticky hair out of her eyes. Holding her cup with both hands in front of her face, she stepped close to the poster of a bridge in Prague, hoping to see her father. The laminated newspaper columns and her diploma from the U attempted to fill the south wall and cover the pockmarks in the legal pad yellow texture. She moved in swaying elephant steps to the bookshelf. Uneven strips of boards from the alley dumpster supported by chipped bricks and concrete blocks. She lifted them from the first star bank site on Western Avenue and hauled them up the two flights in her backpack on successive August solar hams night party nights. She scanned the titles for something new. Journalism texts, Radio for Dummies, Complete Manual of Pirate Radio, Radio Free Berkeley Yearbook, Basic Electronics, FCC Rulebook, Checkbook of Verbs. Alana returned to the window, the sidewalks and streets now empty. She put the cup under her nose and breathed deep, expanding her economical chest. She squatted and set the smoking cup on the window ledge and, resting her chin on her arms, welcomed the chill of the spring morning. Why did that angry little man park at the curb each morning? Was the beer man single, or did he have three kids in a house with no trees up on a hill east of the mall? What would it be like to be the older man there in the seat, walking with a briefcase from the 50s from his brick home and grandkids in Morningside? Alana sipped her coffee and spilled on her top. She patted her breast and saw that the square forge sat empty. She leaned her forehead into the screen and saw the heel of a black shoe going into the building. She spurted into the dining room, flopped onto her stomach, pressed her ear to the floor. She heard a flurry of scuffles and thuds coming up the stairs. Boom, boom, boom. Alana sprang. She grabbed her jacket from the wall, scooped tapes into her backpack, unhooked the screen, lifted it, and brought it inside, setting it against the wall. Two alternating hammers beat the door. SAC, open the door! A plastic photo ID slid under the door along the wood floor. She got on all fours to read it. Damn! Alana stepped through the open window, grabbed the ledge, and eased herself down to hang. We thank you for joining us tonight on the New American Dream Radio Show, right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Thank you and good night, Mike.
And thanks to our guests, Frank, Darren, and Michael. And as always, Apollo. Good night to my friends, Chuck and Lorraine. Stay warm down there. Good night, Mrs. Calabres. Good night, Todd Beamer. Good night, Mark Bingham. Good night, Timothy McVeigh. Good night, Charlie Hebdo. Good night, Don Huxman. Good night, Muhammad Atta. Good night, Omar Mateen. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
People's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We can't stop us! They're
going to
kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started? Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or even be
I'm on the operation of the machine. Become so odious. It's just so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your minds upon the gears, upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the game to the people who want it, to the people who want it. And unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslist.com, the number one listener support.